If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTKDB.com.
Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. All right, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and today joining me on the show is Jeremy Bryant, the host of The Paranormal, The New Normal. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing good. The paranormal world is a busy world.
It is indeed, and it's getting more and more busy every day. It seems like there's a lot of new stuff, new witness accounts, and just all kinds of stuff in the news every day. Like, that this stuff is becoming more and more mainstream.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, that's why my show is called what it's called, because paranormal is the new normal.
Right. Well, tell us about your show.
Well, it's a basic interview type show where I have a different guest on each week, whether they be a paranormal investigator, a paranormal podcaster, an author, or just a regular person with experiences in the paranormal and they want to talk about it.
Cool. How long have you been doing it?
I believe my 8th or 9th episode drops this Saturday, so it's only been a couple months, but, and I next week I have 2 episodes coming out because I am starting to do bonus episodes on Hump Day on Wednesday.
Very nice. Very nice. I find that too, like, we've been recording our shows live at conventions and stuff, so we're being able to record a lot more. And the problem is some of these shows that we record have very specific air dates that they need as far as like advertising certain events coming up or releases and stuff like that. And I'm having to start to do bonus episodes for Whispers from the Dark because we just have so much content now that we got to get it out in a timely fashion. So I feel you, man.
Yeah, but it's funny because my first bonus episode is actually with a porn star who is into the paranormal, who does, what did he call it? Oh my God. There's a name for what he does, and it's a funny freaking name. Yeah, he does spectrophilia reenactments, where he reenacts ghosts having relations with people or sexual possession.
Really? That's interesting. I've heard a little bit about that, actually. I am not at liberty to talk about the things that I know about that, but there might be more coming to light on that in the future. So, yeah, that's really interesting. I was going to say, I know Stormy Daniels also is working on a TV show. And when you said a porn star and stuff, I was thinking that, you know, maybe it was Stormy because I see she's got a new either paranormal or cryptid show that she's on. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. But this was actually a male porn star.
Yeah. Interesting. I see also Kristen Stewart, the girl from Twilight series and stuff like that. She has a new show about like gay or trans LGBTQ paranormal investigators.
Oh, I did hear about that, I believe.
Yeah, that was just in the news too. So it's getting all kinds of interesting stuff, you know, any different kind of spin on the paranormal or investigating and stuff. People find a way to put it out there. So
yeah, cool. the world's growing for paranormal more than I ever could have imagined when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. We have just had the UAP task force hearing a little while ago as well. And that's plummeted all that stuff into more mainstream as well. I know I've given a lot of interviews on my theories and stuff on that. And I was wondering why, like, all these newspapers and stuff started like emailing me, and I'm like, oh, you want to talk about aliens? I see. That's okay. So yeah, it's definitely interesting. Go ahead.
I know. I was going to say, of course they're emailing you if they're going, because now aliens are the hot button subject. I mean, we were just saying on the new podcast I'm starting last night that we want to avoid talking about aliens for a while because they're just too, everybody's talking about them, and you can't start something with aliens anymore because it's not going to be attention grabbing as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You gotta go above and beyond. What I find really interesting about those, the UAP stuff and that, is they talk a lot about the phenomenon itself and the ships or whatever is being seen, but they're completely avoiding the whole topic of what or who is driving them.
Oh, yeah. Which could be military then or something like that as well, but
mm-hmm. or anything. Yeah. I don't know. I just, I like, they released that whole document about, like, talking about you know, what these phenomenon are, where they're coming from and all that, and that they have debris from it and all this stuff, but they never say anything about, you know, they completely avoid that topic of who or what is behind it. And maybe that's for, like, you know, secretness or whatever, if they believe that the Russians or the Chinese or something are flying these things and they don't want to go down that road. I guess maybe I understand that, but, you know, they haven't even touched on the fact that these things might not be human that are piloting them. And I don't know, just find that interesting.
Yeah. What I'm waiting for them to declassify really is, I heard this story on a podcast a while ago about an alien actually visiting the White House and talking to, I forget which president it was. I want to say Truman, but I could be wrong. Because it was back in the 70s or 60s, and there was supposedly an alien that actually came and talked to the president and talked to other world leaders, and there are supposed to be photographs of him with the president, like, at speeches and stuff for a week or so after.
Hmm.
He was what you would call, what they call the Norse aliens, because they look very human.
Hmm. I actually haven't heard that story. I've heard the one where I believe it was Truman was on the Air Force base and had the meeting on the UFO, and none of the Air Force base was supposed to talk about it. This was right in during World War II, I believe. And supposedly the alien came down and said, you know, we want you to stop, you know, this war. We want you to become peaceful and, you know, protect your planet and all this stuff. And he said, if there's anything we can do to help you, you know, we will help. What can we do? And Truman said, well, we want better weapons. And the aliens are like, well, you're not ready for our help then. And they left. So.
Okay. Actually, I just found this.
Okay.
I just found this, but this is what I was talking about. It's called Valiant Thor. That was the name of the extraterrestrial.
Okay.
And it landed outside of Washington, D.C., demanding to speak with President Eisenhower in 57.
Hmm.
And then for the next 3 years, the extraterrestrial supposedly lived inside the Pentagon, working with top scientists and government officials. But they just never released any information about this, but there's a lot of different sources that say this did happen back in the 50s.
Hmm.
As much as I love the name Valiant Thor, but
right. Oh, I have not heard that story yet.
Yeah, it was on Parcast Supernatural with Ashley Flowers. Rappers. That's the show I heard on. That show's now over, but it was a good show while it lasted.
Hmm. Very cool. Cool. So you do a podcast and several podcasts. It sounds like you have a couple new ones coming out and stuff. So do you also do investigating on your own or?
No, not currently. I live in a haunted house, so that's kind of investigating, but other than that, like, it's just between my full-time job and the now five podcasts I'm on, there's no time to do anything else, plus I have kids and a wife, so.
Very nice. So you live in a haunted house. What are some things that you've had happen there?
Well, basically, I bought the house back in the end of September, and we moved in the beginning of November of this past year. And it was built in 64 by a married couple, and they were the only ones ever lived in it before we bought it. They have both passed away, obviously, since then. That's why it was for sale. And when the first weekends we were here to fix up the house, my girlfriend, then now wife, was staying here with her father to, like, overnight working on the house while I stayed in my previous place. And my girlfriend opened the bathroom door one night, and like a white mist just came out and went like through her, basically, and went, just ran out somewhere. And that was the first. And they said they heard a lot of strange noises at night that they couldn't explain because the heat wasn't on yet, because it was October. So there was no need for the heat yet. And so it was just a lot of weird noises they couldn't identify. And then once we moved in, we were for Thanksgiving, we had my wife's sister over for Thanksgiving weekend, long weekend, whatever you want to say. And she likes to stay up late. So she'd be up like at 2-3 in the morning, and while everybody else is sleeping. And she'd be sitting in our living room, you could see down the hallway if you're sitting on the couch, like where all the bedrooms are. And she said that she saw this shadow person type entity, like, stare at her from the hallway, and then it would just walk back and forth from the hallway into the kitchen and then back into the hallway. And they seemed to like the kitchen and the hallway. And she was also in the kitchen at one point, and the door that goes out towards our garage basement area, someone was jiggling the handle of the doorknob, like someone was trying to come in, but everybody else in the house was asleep but her. So that was how it all came to our attention. And, you know, you'd see things out of the corner of your eye sometimes that you just can't explain. And like nothing solid or slowly moving. Like, it was always like a fast thing that you wouldn't even know what happened. And it's just like you said, that sense of something moved like right in your peripheral, and you look over and nothing's there, of course. So I actually hired paranormal investigators in the beginning of December to come and do a little investigation just to see if I can get some answers. And they're called the Massachusetts Paranormal something or other. I honestly don't remember what they're called at this point, but they came in.
Plug for them right there, yeah.
I've been trying to reach out to them, actually, to get them to come on my show, but they haven't responded as of yet. But anyway, they came and they brought her all their instruments, EKGs and all that. And they just, basically what it came down to is it is the married couple who lived here before. Even though they didn't die in the house, they still just reside here. And we were asking them questions using divining rods to try to get answers. And they supposedly basically said that they are here. They like staying here. They want to watch over the kids. That's because they never had kids, so they like watching over the kids. And we were in my kids' rooms when we were doing this, and that's where the most activity was. And we were in my son's room, actually. That was the last room I was in with them. And we're in there, all three of us, the two investigators and me, and it's very dark, like the lights are off, except for their tools. And we're talking to them, and we're asking them, like, well, I asked them specifically, like, do you like what I've done to the house since I bought it? Because I've done a bunch of major improvements to it since I bought it before we moved in. And all of a sudden, my back gets like the iciest cold chill going up it. And all of a sudden in my ear, I hear a very low, thank you. And at this point, I'm basically frozen and almost shaking because it was like, what? And I'm like, did you guys hear that? And they're like, no, we didn't hear anything. So I honestly think a spirit talked to me and said thank you in my ear for when I asked him if he liked everything I did to the house.
That's cool. They probably appreciate that you're, you know, upkeeping their hard work and stuff, you know?
Well, he kind of Mickey Moused everything in this house, but yeah.
Well, it's interesting too that, you know, you said you started doing all the renovation right before you moved in. And a lot of times people feel that, you know, renovating and construction and stuff can stir up that energy and, you know, make everything more active. So kind of makes sense there too.
Yeah, definitely does. But I don't know. At this point, I just accepted they're here, and I haven't seen anything since or really heard anything since, but it's just been kind of like, sometimes I feel like my wife constantly thinks she's afraid to go down into the garage because you can pass the basement stairs. If it's dark, she won't go in there unless the lights are turned on first, because she feels like something's watching her from the bottom of the steps, and she feels like she sees out of the corner of her eye, like things in the basement moving around. So, but she's always been more sensitive to stuff than I have been. I mean, she came from a house in the Bridgewater Triangle that was just truly built on it, Native American burial ground haunted.
Very interesting. She tell you a lot of the stories and stuff that happened there? Or?
She told me a lot of stories that happened there, and pretty much every other family member in her, because there's a lot of them living in that house. It's a good sized house, and there's a lot of them living there, and they've all told me different stories about things they've heard or seen. And I mean, going back to her grandfather and grandmother, when they bought the house, they saw stuff too. I mean, so it's always been there, and it's built on a Native American burial mound, basically. Because anybody who knows the Bridgewater Triangle story knows that whole area is truly haunted just by, supposedly by the curse that the chief laid on the white men who were killing them all.
So do you think that it's like Native Americans and stuff that were haunting that, or have you looked into any of the history of that as far as, you know, done any investigating there or had any investigations done?
No, the family is not the type to do investigations. Like, they just live with it, and they just realize if they hear something or see something, they're kind of like, yeah, it's the house. Like, that's just the way it goes. But basically, what made me truly believe it was a Native American burial ground is because the room my girlfriend at the time was staying in, that I was staying with her all the time, she used to always have to have some night lights on at night. And the room would be pretty decently brighter than I would like it when I sleep. And I'd ask her, why can't we turn off the lights? And she said, because if we do, I see the same thing that my sister before me saw in this room. And it's a shadowy figure on the ceiling, and he has in his hand, it looks like he has three orbs that glow different colors and float around his hand. So I think it's a Native American healer gone bad, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to say it's the human
S word,
the human super.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's the human suit wearers, but
yeah.
Though they have heard things running around their house late at night when they lost power, and the thing ran around the house so fast, there was no animal in that area that could run that fast. And it sounded like it was running on two legs.
Now, is that house like out in the middle of the woods then, or is it more rural or suburban, or?
It's kind of suburban, but it's also the backyard faces the forest, and that forest is where the Bridgewater Triangle technically starts in that area.
Okay. I was just thinking, you know, if it, you know, you're hearing things moving around and stuff, you know, you could have like animals or other weird things out there too as well, not just paranormal.
Oh, trust me, they have coyotes and fisher cats and everything else too that you could think of, but they just they know what those sound like because there's always coyotes walking around their house, same as there's always coyotes walking around my house now. I mean, at night, it's just the way it is when you live close to the woods in Massachusetts. But this thing just ran around the house so fast that it scared the crap out of them all, and they were running around and locking the windows and doors because they had no idea what it was. Was it extraterrestrial? Was it a human suit wearer? Or like, who knows? Like, there's a bunch of different options what it could be. Plus, they've also have seen rakes or pale crawlers in the backyard at night.
Really?
My wife tried capturing one in her cell phone, kind of like that famous YouTube video of it now. Mm-hmm. But it was really, really dark, and it was through the screen, so you really can't see anything. I mean, it was just blurry, blurry, blurry. So, but she saw it, and she was messaging me that night, like, scared out of her mind, because it was just walking around the backyard, and then eventually just kind of retreated back into the woods.
She gave you a good description of, like, how it moved or what it looked like and stuff?
I mean, I don't remember exactly because it was a long time ago now, but when she described it, I'm like, that's a rake. I'm like, I've heard that description a bunch of times in different stories, and that's a rake. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, and then she said it was just kind of staggering around the backyard, like unsure what it was doing. Mm-hmm. Like it was staggering around like there was something, like it was looking for something, but it was just like it was drunk or stoned. Mm-hmm. But she gave the basic, you know, white body, like long strangly arms kind of, and just the whole body kind of stringy. I mean, it just basically what a rake is supposed to look like.
That's pretty interesting. I know my friend Jack Chavez, he is writing a book on rakes and pale crawlers and stuff like that. So I had him on the show a while ago discussing that and stuff. And I know he's interested in stories like that. I'll have to let him know. Yeah, that's the first actual one that I've like story that I've heard of them. I take that back. I have heard one from Wisconsin here. Somebody I used to work with was out in the woods across from, I think, their grandma's house or something. And it's kind of like native grounds and stuff out there as well, the property. And it came out from behind a tree, I believe, and was kind of looking at them, and they took off and went back to the house. But I think that's the only other story that I've ever heard of it. So,
with Wisconsin, that sounds more, I would lean more towards like a Wendigo than a rake out there, but I think, and I could be wrong, but.
Well, see, the way that I'm familiar with this, and the person that I got the story from was actually native as well. And they believe that these things are all the same thing. The rake, the Wendigo, the crawlers, all that. They have the same description as far as like the emaciated body and, you know, the kind of cannibalistic instincts and stuff like that, the way that they become these creatures. So according to them, you know, it's like saying Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti. It's all the same creature. It's just wherever in the country or the world that you're talking about.
I kind of can see that maybe, but the theory I've always heard for the rakes and pale crawlers that made more sense to me was that because the cave system in the eastern United States is massive. Mm-hmm. Like it connects all the states, like from Pennsylvania, New York down to Florida, and even out to the west a little bit. And that's what I've heard a lot of theories. I think these rakes, pale crawlers are kind of like mole men, for lack of a better word. They live in the cave. They live deep in the caves, and like maybe there's passages in the caves that go lower in the earth, and maybe they're just a race of a species that has been living down there for hundreds and thousands of years until humans decide to open it up to mine or what have you, and they just started coming up. And I never really heard of any of them being cannibalistic, though. I never heard of any trying to attack somebody, actually. They always just seem to be staggering around, looking around.
Okay. Well, I know that that's more of like the Wendigo trait and stuff, is the cannibalistic, the human cannibals and stuff. Like, that's the general description of what a Wendigo is.
But... Well, yeah, Wendigos are definitely cannibalistic, and that's how they're made. And they use, I mean, the signifying feature on them has been antlers for a long time until lately, when that's been disputed that they might not always have antlers. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they could all be related in ways, I guess, but I just have, I mean, the American cave system is so freaking huge that it makes you wonder, with all the missing 411 like documentaries out there about these missing people in the woods, like what's happening to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe the pale crawlers are taking them and using them for food, using them as food sources or what have you. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting theory. I've never heard that one proposed as far as like where these people are going. I mean, I've heard like the cave systems and stuff, but not necessarily like the rakes or the crawlers or anything doing that. But
it would be an easier solution to this than a lot when what might really be happening. I mean, it could be extraterrestrial bases down there too, or reptilians. Who the hell knows? Yep.
I was going to say, you're talking about the mole people down there. I was like, well, we already got the reptilians down there. I think that there'd be a battle between the reptiles and the moles here. I don't think that would go so well.
Hey, you know, that's not what earthquakes are.
Yeah, there you go. Giant mole man versus a reptilian wrestling match going on. So are you familiar with Hellier at all?
Yes, I started watching the documentary they put out about the show they put out about it, but I never finished it. And I've heard Derek Hayes talk about it on Monsters Among Us, and Monsteropolis, Small Town Monsters guys have talked about it, and I've heard different podcasts just mention it. But it's basically a farm that was attacked by small goblin like aliens, right?
Correct, yeah.
And I guess it was like a three or four day siege from what the story goes.
Well, that would be the Hopkinsville Goblin story.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
The Hellier was Greg and Dana Newkirk, and Greg received this email of this guy that was told to contact him, and he still doesn't know how he got his information or whatever. But this guy had goblins coming out of the mine by his house and out of the woods, and was looking for help from Greg and his paranormal team in that. And the whole Hellier series, there's two seasons of it out right now. And it's just basically these weird synchronicities and all these weird rabbit holes that they go down that leads them to, you know, Mothman and all these caves and stuff. And I was wondering, like, what your thoughts were on the goblins versus the crawlers and stuff, since you were brought up like the cave system.
I mean, the cave systems in America are so big, and there are different sections of them that really don't connect. So maybe there are different creatures. I mean, maybe the creatures got pushed back into them when white men were first starting to come to America, because the Native Americans have stories of living peacefully with a bunch of different creatures, such like Sasquatches and human suit wearers and all these different creatures that they just kind of either avoided, or they even traded with some of them. I mean, there's tons of stories of Native Americans trading with hairy men who have a tribe of their own. So, I mean, it all could just be from white men coming over and colonizing and pushing them all before they even could interact with them. They just pushed them back like into the cave. Because they were scared of them, because the Native Americans probably warned them, you need to just disappear because these humans will just kill you, like they're doing us. But not to sound like a Native American soapbox person here, but
are you Native?
No, not at all. Oh, I just have a deep respect for the tribes as it is. I just have, for their nations, I have a great respect for them.
Very good.
And the paranormal world, and the paranormal world in America, it always leads back to them in some way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We recently added a First Nations person to our team who has added greatly to our information and our knowledge. And we're glad to have him. He is part of our CAPS Academy team. His name is Resnick. And he's been a great help to us. So. A lot of very interesting stories and legends and lore that he's brought with him.
Huh. Well, if you want to ask him if he wants to be on my show sometime, I definitely wouldn't mind having him.
I will definitely bring that up to him.
Because I've actually been looking for a Native Nation person to be on my show. I reached out to one who's on another podcast last week, but he liked my tweet, but he never really messaged me to say, hey, I'll do it.
You get a lot of that, you know.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So you've always lived out in Massachusetts, or have you moved around, or?
Originally from New York, but I mean, New York, Massachusetts are basically right next to each other. So I've always been the East Coast. I never really lived anywhere else.
So what other legends and lore and stuff do you have out in Massachusetts and in the New York area out there?
Well, I mean, the Catskills in New York, where I'm from, are a huge Bigfoot region for Bigfoot sightings and UFOs as well. A lot. Barney and Betty White were captured in the Catskills, coming back from the Poconos. They basically one mountain range to another. But and Massachusetts, of course, has the Bridgewater Triangle, which is Pudgewuckies, is UFOs, Bigfoot, giant snakes, dogmen, everything you could imagine has happened in the Bridgewater Triangle. Satanic cults, doing rituals and killing people in the woods in the Freetown Forest. There's a lot of that in the 80s and 90s. And they actually got arrested and caught. Like, there's newspaper articles about it. So, and of course, you know, you got Salem in Massachusetts too, which just is a whole nother situation that is. Every town in Massachusetts has some kind of haunted location because it's one of the oldest states in the nation. So there's going to be a lot of history that happened here.
I assume, I don't want to assume things, but I assume that you've been to Salem, Massachusetts then.
Yes, I believe it was the first time I ever went. I could have went when I was younger, I don't know it, but I went for the first time right before COVID, like a year before COVID, and took my kids and my girlfriend and her father with me, and we went there for like a day. It's funny because we did a witch tour, where they tell you a history of the area and it's a walking tour. Yeah. And I just got done listening to Aaron Mankey's Unobscured first season about the Salem witch trials. And the whole time I'm just like, why does this all sound so familiar? So I'm walking with the tour guide to the next location and I like speed up and get next to him. And I'm like, do you guys listen to Aaron Mankey's podcast Unobscured? And he's like, yes, we all listen to it. It's the best guide ever made that has all the information you need for like Salem witch trials in one place. He's like, we based most of our tours around that. We changed all our tours because of that show. And I was like, I knew I heard all this before. But Salem's a nice little tourist location. I mean, I've done any real investigating there, like at night or anything. I would honestly be a little cautious about that because it's a very, from what I've heard from other investigators, it's a highly active site, and not all the spirits are so nice. Because why would they be? There's some bad history in that location.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, you know, when you have areas of high activity already, it draws in more energy. So anything that is there is probably amplified, you know, tenfold, being, you know, all the other stuff that's happened and it happened since then too, you know, because there are a lot of, you know, that's the center of witches and, you know, witch culture. I mean, you got to have that whole town has got to be rich with that stuff. Anybody that, you know, is looking for that kind of, you know, area is going to probably end up there, you know?
Yeah. Or in the general vicinity of it. Yeah. Because there's not that many. Salem's a small town, actually. It's not that big, but.
I actually got to go there a few years ago. I don't remember. I think it was like 2013 or 2014. I think I was there and I got to go through it. It was off season. It was actually in December that I was there, but I went to the museum and I went to the cemetery and a couple other little areas. A lot of the more touristy things were shut down for the year, but just walking around that town was really cool. A lot of history, a lot of it's still a very old town. A lot of the original buildings, a lot of the original roadways, you know, the cobblestones or the brick roads and stuff like that. Very interesting place to walk around and look at and see.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, they don't want to change it because it's part of the lore and attraction that they want to keep. Because it's same as you go to, what the hell's the name of it? this one marketplace in Boston. It's still all like the same thing, cobblestone streets, and a lot of the buildings are still the original buildings. They're just being used for other things, but it's just, oh, I can't think of the name of it. I haven't been there since I was a kid, but it's right in Boston. I probably should go back at some point, but oh my God. Okay. It's so slipping me right now.
We have always talked about, you know, the fact that whenever people go out and see, like, or not go out and see, but anybody that has like paranormal activity and stuff like that, you always hear the same kind of style stories. You see the people in like period clothing, or the little girls in bonnets, or, you know, the high collar dresses. You know what I'm talking about? Like the period style clothing and stuff like that. But you never hear stories of more modern day, you know, like, you know, we always make the joke, like people walking around in Britney Spears t-shirts or something like that. You know, do you have any thought as to why, or have you heard any stories of more modern day ghosts or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, see, it's hard because I believe there are multiple types of ghosts. I believe that shadow people are ghosts as well. Okay. And that, well, at least that's one theory I believe about them. Mm-hmm. It's that I think once ghosts get to a certain, like ghosts age like humans do when they're alive, I think. And when you're first turned to a ghost, when you die, you turn to a spirit, you only show up as like a white misty cloud because you don't know and you didn't learn how to control yourself yet and make your form be what you want to be. And then I think a shadow person is like the next step because you're kind of learning to make yourself look like a human again, but you can't really do details. So you just make yourself look like a shadow of a human. And then eventually they get to the full apparition where you can see every detail of the person. But then again, someone else on my show the other day just told me that they believe that ghosts will mimic what you want to see because they can tell what's in your head and what you want to see. So if you're looking for a certain person or a certain general age or person, type of person, that's who they'll come appear to you as. Almost like extraterrestrials are supposed to do too, which just makes it even more creepy.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting theory. I kind of like that, the ghost to the shadow to the full formed. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been done in books before, of course, as well, that same type of theory, but I think it does apply because, I mean, either that or shadow people are just extra dimensional beings that don't realize we can see them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about the one that you saw in your house. Have you ever, you've never seen the one that you said was in your house?
Out of the corner of my eye, maybe, but never full on seen it.
Okay. Do you know like a description of what it looks like or anything? Or
I was just told it looks like a 6-7 foot tall person, but just a shadow. Okay. And that there was no real details to it. It just looked like a human shape. Okay. Interesting. But if that's Raleigh, the person who owned this house originally, the husband, and he's the one who passed back in 19. So, or back in, yeah, back in 19 or 20, I believe he passed in a nursing home. So he, or in the hospital, I forget what it was, but it could be him because he's still a new spirit and maybe he learned how to take shape, but he just doesn't know how to make details.
I know they always say that it takes 40 days after someone passes before they can come back. So, you know, there's this time period where there's, you know, right after they leave before they can actually come back and make contact and stuff again. So that's also interesting, you know, that, you know, maybe that's onto something there too, as how long it takes before they can get their stuff together, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking back to the modern day spirits versus old time spirits and stuff like that. We were talking about how, you know, a lot of old time, in older days, you know, you would have a lot more tragical deaths, you know, with, you know, a lot of the modern medicine hadn't evolved yet, you know? So a lot of people are dying from diseases that are curable today, or, you know, mass die-offs of cholera or other diseases and stuff, or traumatic things. And, you know, like battles like Gettysburg or Salem and places like that. So we were trying to think of things that were more modern that would cause this. And one of the things that we thought of was 9/11.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one thing that came to mind that was a mass, you know, catastrophe, a mass loss of human life, very tragically. And we were actually considering trying to do a paranormal investigation around the 9/11 memorial there. And we were trying to figure out how to do that, because with so much, I mean, this is downtown New York. And there's so much just electromagnetic energy down there with the buildings and the sewers and the subways and stuff. And then you have the, you know, just, you know, the city that never sleeps. So you have people around 24/7, vehicles, cars. So you have a lot of audio interference. So trying to have communication or trying to contact anything spiritually there would be very difficult, in my opinion. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, connecting to anything spiritual is always a hard thing to do, unless you, like, I've talked to people on my show that are, say they communicate with spirits on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And unless you're at that level, communicating with spirits is near impossible usually. I mean, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to get through and talk to them. Unless you're one of the really sensitive ones. But so, I mean, but you feel like at a place like the World Trade Center, 9/11, or one of the camps over in Germany from World War II, there, it feels like there's so much bad energy there that it'd be a lot easier to contact something, because there's so much there, probably. So many spirits still wandering around where the towers fell or where the camps were, whether camps here in America or camps over there. Because there's a lot of that bad stuff in history.
Definitely, yeah. I think we try and, you know, like, sweep a lot of that under the rug. You know, a lot of we always talk about, like, the concentration camps over in Germany and, you know, the Nazis and all the bad things that were done over there. But if you look at the way that, you know, we settled America, and I use that term loosely here, but there's, you know, we kind of touched on this earlier, too. There's a lot of bad stuff that we as Americans have done to the people of our own country. I mean, you have the Salem witch trials, you have, you know, the Native Americans, you have the civil wars and all the Revolutionary War and all that as well. I mean, these are our own people that we, you know, went to war against, not even the enemy. I mean, these were brother versus brother and stuff going on.
Oh yeah. And I mean, don't forget the Japanese internment camps during World War II, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of American citizens who just happened to be of Japanese heritage died at those camps for no reason.
Mm-hmm. All the Muslims and stuff that were segregated after 9/11 as well.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not a very forgiving nation, I guess, you know. As much as we like to think that we're, you know, the epitome of society or whatever of the world right now, it's we're still not very evolved as a species, I don't think.
Oh, God, no. I mean, we have so, and I think that's why a lot of extraterrestrials visit us, but they don't want to communicate, because to them, we're still a backwater dirt planet that hasn't found its way out of its ass yet.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recently heard this analogy. They were talking about how, you know, with the stuff that's going on over in Ukraine and Russia and stuff, they said, you know, well, why, if the extraterrestrials are here and they, you know, want to help us and all this stuff, why aren't they stepping in to stop this violence? And, you know, the same old story in that. And they said, there's an old folklore fairy tale or whatever about a boy and a butterfly. And this caterpillar goes into its cocoon, and it turns into a butterfly, right? And this little boy is watching it try and crawl out of the cocoon. and the butterfly emerges and it's stuck on this little silver thread into the inside of the cocoon yet. And the butterfly is flapping its wings and it's trying to get away. And the little boy thinks that it's so pretty and beautiful and he's going to help it. So he goes over and he snips the little thread that's holding it to the cocoon. And the butterfly immediately drops to the ground and cannot fly, and shortly after passes away. Well, little did the little boy know that this little thread was meant as a safety rope for the butterfly, so that after it emerged, the wings would become stronger and dry out. And when the butterfly was strong enough to fly on its own, it would break the thread and escape on its own. And by trying to help the butterfly, the little boy actually ended up killing it.
That's a good analogy, actually, for extraterrestrials and humans. I like that.
I do, too. Yeah. I can't remember where I originally heard that, but I thought it was really interesting. So I thought I would share. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Bigfoot and stuff out there?
Oh, Bigfoot is a whole subject and a half right there. But I mean, there are multiple theories I can subscribe to with Bigfoot. I mean, the most simplistic one, I believe, is usually the best answer. And the most simplistic one for them is Giganticus. Where they were a species back when Homo sapiens were first coming around. And it was originally believed Homo sapiens killed them out. But what if they just got good at hiding because they're like, these guys are dicks. Let's go hide over here. Mm-hmm. And they went and hid. And eventually they started to emerge a little. And I believe they're all around the world, obviously. I mean, every country has its own ape men variety, basically, except for Antarctica, which maybe they do too. Who knows? But so they start to emerge and deal with natives in whatever land they're in, eventually a little bit trading animals and whatnot, food. But I think once white men start colonizing the whole earth, they went into hiding. Truly, I mean, look how long it took for us to prove gorillas really existed. Mm-hmm. For a long time, they were just the African Bigfoots because they were this species of hairy men who lived in the woods and killed the African people when they would come across them and try to kill them, probably. But it's just so these Bigfoots can really just be a species that we haven't proven exist yet. In a scientific way, at least. I mean, if you go out to Olympia, the Washington Project, or the Olympia Project in Washington, I messed that up, they found Bigfoot nests, they believe, a bunch of them, like all together on the ground, just hidden, and that they believe that's where the Bigfoot sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Which, two separate nesting sites, actually, now.
Yeah, I've heard that. I would love to go out there and check it out, but then again, I'm also a little timid about it, because I'm like, I do not want to go into their home and get myself beat to death because I'm in their home. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't want someone coming to my home without being invited. But same thing. But I also could believe that extraterrestrials and Bigfoot are related to some degree. I mean, I heard this theory a couple times. I never where I hear it from. But what if Earth is a prison planet for extraterrestrial species? And mm-hmm. Maybe some council in space of different species of extraterrestrials will use Earth as a prison planet for creatures they don't want in their own planets anymore. That would explain Bigfoot, Chupacabra, lake, sea, ocean monsters. It would explain all these different creatures that are on Earth that we have no explanation for or that we can't prove exist. What if they're just different aliens with different technologies to hide and not be found?
It's very interesting. We just get dropped off here. We don't want you anymore. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was an X-Files episode a while back, but where in the beginning of it, the spaceship landed in the middle of a road in America. And like, all you just see these two aliens walk out. And all of a sudden, this huge creature just runs past them out of the ship and into the woods. And they even look at each other and they're like, what was that? So it was a funny like opening because it's like they basically brought they smuggled basically another species to Earth that they didn't know existed, that they didn't know was in their ship even. So it's kind of funny. I mean, it's just, who knows what could have been unleashed on Earth by accident or on purpose.
There's a lot of theories that the octopus is actually extraterrestrial as well.
Yeah, I like that they use that theory in the Alan Tudyk show, Resident Alien, that's on. The second season just ended. Like,
I have not seen the second season. I do know what you're talking about. I thoroughly enjoyed the first season of that show, but I have not gotten to the second one yet.
Oh, the second one's even better.
Is it?
But yeah, they utilize that theory in that show.
That the octopus is an alien?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he talks to it at the
yeah, restaurant. The
restaurant, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I guess. Well, that's what I'm going to have to catch up on now, Resident Alien. Awesome. So, talking about that, your theory, you brought up the chupacabra. So, a lot of people believe that these chupacabras are actually the Texas blue dogs. And I've always thought that, you know, even a dog with mange or, you know, a hybrid species like they claim that it is still a predator. It's still a carnivore and it's still going to eat its prey. It does not, to me, follow these, you know, the biology of what these attacks looked like and what they're claiming is the cause of it. And what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, the chupacabra is one of those things where I honestly don't even know what to think about it because it's just, there's the cases I've heard have always been so few and far in between. And yes, they've tested the DNA of some of the corpses they found of them supposedly. And yes, some have come up with dogs or coyotes or wolves or what have you, but some have come up with they can't tell what DNA it is because it's not something we've record for. So maybe it's a mix of all of them. Maybe there is just some of them are creatures of manes and it's just hysteria and people just claim it's a chupacabra because that's what they think everything is that they hear in the woods at night or in the desert at night, I guess would be better. But so maybe it is, maybe there is a chupacabra that's in either species that's always been on Earth, but because of civilization being built, was forced to move out of where it would hunt regular animals and suck their blood. And another predator would probably come along and eat the body. So, and now that humans are around more, maybe we're just seeing them more and they've always been here. Or maybe they are extraterrestrial prisoners that are being dropped here. And that's why the cases are so few and far between, is because it's only when one's dropped here until it either dies or gets killed.
Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting that also I believe I always get this wrong and I really need to go back and figure out what book this was. I'm 90% sure it was a John Keel book. And John Keel, obviously the author for famous for like the Mothman prophecies and stuff like that. But he also did a lot of other Freudian research in that. And I believe it was in one of his books that he talks about back in like the 1800s that there is this series of weird kills that are very reminiscent of the modern day chupacabra incidences. And obviously the chupacabra was coined in the 90s. So he didn't have this term to call them back then. But he reports these things happening over in Europe. And I want to say it's like the 1800s and stuff, but there was a lot of chickens and goats being found dead with puncture wounds, very, very similar to all the chupacabra reports and stuff like that. So this is another creature that, well, whatever it is, this is another anomaly that has been reported throughout history, not just the moderner reports of like down in Mexico and Puerto Rico and stuff. So I thought that was really interesting that, you know, before any of this chupacabra stuff came out, that here's an exact, you know, same story coming from back in you know, older days.
Yeah, I mean, in the UK at that point, they're probably calling it vampire attacks, but...
Correct, yeah. And you have a lot of vampire stories and stuff coming out of Europe and Britain and that over there as well.
Yeah, vampire and dogman stories are pretty big coming out of the UK in history. I mean, even till today, the Highgate Cemetery vampire in London, it's been a story I've heard about till today, and people supposedly still see it at night.
Very interesting. All right. Well, I think we're almost out of time here for my episode of this show. I know I have been invited as a guest onto your show. So
Yes.
I will be you can carry on this conversation. We're going to be recording that right after this one. So tell everyone where they can find your show and how to find you and more information about all your shows.
Well, you can find me on Facebook as Jeremy Bryant, or there's also Paranormal, the New Normal Facebook group, which Barnaby just joined, actually.
I
So,
did.
and I post links to I post my all my shows I'm on in the Paranormal, the New Normal Facebook group, just because it's a good way to it's the best place to put all my stuff in one central place. So, if you either Facebook or I'm on Twitter and Instagram as at Juggalo Bastard. Which
All right.
that name comes from Bracket Bastards, another podcast I'm on. But so if you go to either my Twitter or my Facebook, you'll find everything I'm on. It's I have a music show, I have a pop culture tournament show, that's Bracket Bastards, and I have one paranormal show that's 7 or 8 episodes in, Paranormal the New Normal. And I will be starting a new paranormal show with three other co-hosts soon called Global Strangeness.
Very cool.
So that's everywhere you can find me, basically.
All right, and I'll make sure I add all those links into the show notes of this episode. And make sure you go over and check out the rest of our conversation today over on this will be Paranormal the New Normal, correct?
Yes.
All right, Paranormal the New Normal. You can go listen to the rest of our conversation over there and go check out all of your other wonderful podcasts and something for everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, you got variety is spice of life.
Awesome. Always keeping it fresh and new and something going on, man. So I appreciate you taking the time today to come and chat with us. And I wish you luck on all of your podcasts and your new stuff. And hopefully you can get out and do some paranormal investigating on your own.
I may be soon. I may be. There's some plans in the works.
Go out Bigfooting for me out there in Massachusetts.
I'd love to, but I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm ever out in that area, you look me up and we'll go Bigfooting together.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show today. And until next time, I'm your host, Barnaby. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcasts or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.